fast-growing number of devices connected to the Internet means enterprises need to rethink their approaches to cybersecurity. Cyber expert Melissa Hathaway says we're at a cyber inflection point. She's the president of Hathaway Global Strategies and former director of the Joint Interagency Cyber Task Force. She told me what the top concerns are for cybersecurity.
The top three things that we need to start thinking about are the fact that we're entering into an age for the Internet where every single part of our life is connected to the Internet, whether it's from in the morning when you turn on the water and you brush your teeth to the e-shopping that you might be doing over the Internet, to the financial systems, whether it's the ATM when you withdraw your money or you do your e-banking at night. Every part of your life is touching the Internet and is dependent upon these connected devices and to have that connection on. The Internet is no longer an opt-in participation. It's compelled participation, because without the Internet, you won't be able to do a lot of these different things.
So for large enterprises like federal agencies that are on the receiving end of all of that consumer computing, what's their big challenge?
I think their big challenge is that their employees really want to have the same types of connected devices that they have in their normal lives, whether that is the cell phone or the iPad or the, you know, the connected device, that they want to have the same types of functionality and same types of mobility that they have with the rest of the electronics and their other life when they're not at work.
But if I'm operating an enterprise network and I have, say, cloud components and I have my own data centers and I have my own wide area network connecting all of this, plus the mobile devices that you mentioned, there's a lot of ways in for the bad people. And so I'm just wondering if the ways we've been thinking about cybersecurity as kind of a perimeter defense that you continuously monitor is really the right model for the next however many years.
Yeah, I think that we're at a strategic inflection point for the way that we need to be thinking about cybersecurity, because today we're in the Internet of Everything, where you and I have 3 to 5 connected devices associated with us. And in less than 5 years, we're going to have more than 15 connected devices associated with us. And when you're starting to think about how does one identify, authenticate, enable those services, and limit fraud, limit criminal activity, limit other nefarious activities, we have to change the way we're thinking about it.
So people have this mess of passwords, and there's password servers and cookie servers and so on, and there's this big, easy-to-hack kind of complex. What are the vendors? What's the industry looking at? Is anybody looking at this in a completely new way than just trying to strengthen the same old things that haven't worked that well?
There's certainly some innovations that are coming about, but writ large, I believe that the industry is still looking at niche solutions and not comprehensive approach to the market. And while this is not a new idea, it's something that I've been recently putting forward, is that I think that we need to look at how the electricity changed the world in the 18th and 19th century, and then how the insurance market demanded an underwriter's lab for all of those devices that connected the electricity to our homes and businesses. I think that we need the same type of market adjuster, if you will, to make sure that all of these connected devices have the security aspects built into them that are tested and vetted and are transparent to us as consumers, to us as businesses, to us as governments, so that we can ensure that the next generation of connected devices don't enable more crime, fraud, other nefarious activities, or actually could in fact cause enough harm or to bring down the overall service.
So will that development, will that spark some kinds of revolutionary technologies we might not know about yet, the existence of that market mechanism?
I think that it could absolutely incubate or generate new ideas for how we could build the next generation of electronic and or connected devices. I think it'll also start to serve of a filter to pull the bad products, the poorly engineered products, out of the market.
We're speaking with Melissa Hathaway. She's president of Hathaway Global Strategies. And let's talk about the Internet itself, which is about to undergo a big change in governance as the Commerce Department lets go of ICANN. And what do you think this is going to mean for cyber? I mean, with other nations having, I don't know, as much influence, depending on how you look at it, as the United States has had.
So I think that there is a struggle along really five different areas of the Internet. The first is the economics. Who has access to the Internet? Who pays for that access and who benefits from that access? And there's, you know, generally there's a competition now for how one monetizes the Internet, who controls that, those market levers. It's increasingly, I think that's a behind the scenes discussion in many of these international negotiations. The second is the technical underpinning of the Internet. It's who provisions the transit infrastructure, like the AT&T and the Verizon or your Cox cable, right? Who enables your Internet service to your business or your home? Who administers the protocols, the allowing it from my office to your office with great interoperability and seamlessly going through the standards and then the security and who manages content? And so to answer your question, for the second area, technical, that is what the Department of Commerce is talking about, that because their contract for IANA, the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority, which is currently managed by the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, ICANN, and that contract is under the Department of Commerce. That's what enables that interoperability of the technical underpinnings of the Internet.
Is that under stress or a threat at this point?
Yeah, there's a perception around the world that the United States, and specifically the United States government, is running that, albeit it's under the ICANN, which is a nonprofit organization in California. Since 1988, when we created this has been something that the United States government has helped fund and incubate. And many countries around the world would like to see this transition outside of the United States government into more of a multilateral forum, or at least a multinational forum, for control and distribution.
And it's probably fair to say that not every nation has equally good motives.
There's a perception by some countries who have a growing internet population and more connected devices that they are being limited in their internet participation by the United States.
All right. So getting it back to cybersecurity, with all of the proliferation of top-level domain names and other people having access to the interoperability plumbing down lower at the internet, what do you think agencies should be thinking about long-term, just to make sure that they have security of intellectual property and the privacy information that they hold?
I think that we need to start to break down of, you know, what are we governing, who are we governing, and how best to govern. And I know that sounds trite, but we haven't decided what is the most important things that we need to protect, from data to, you know, computers or connected devices. And then what would that future look like of, if we're going to go down this path of what to govern? Is it, you know, is it the internet service providers? Is it the devices? Is it certain companies? How are we going to think about the process by which we do that? Is it going to be regulation? Is it going to be incentives? And I think that broadly we haven't defined the bigger picture of what do we want the, you know, next 5 years to look like.
And there's also some thinkers talking about a whole different model than the government is currently going about protecting networks, with the continuous monitoring and so forth. And that is just simply assume that those elements you don't want in there have always penetrated your network. They're already there, and just have reactive mechanisms built inside past the firewall, just to acknowledge what the reality is of their ability to get in the first place.
Yeah, I think that there is that point of view, and we need to be thinking about that, yes, most organizations have already been penetrated, so they need to know what normal behavior is on their network and what is abnormal behavior on their network. So when the abnormal behavior emerges, they can more quickly detect it, isolate it, and eradicate it. But I also think that we need to be thinking more about using those companies and or the internet service providers who have broad insight into the upstream traffic or the network traffic, because they oftentimes, we think of them as they're have great insight into what's going on, and they can see bad activity before it actually hits your endpoint or your enterprise. And we could actually ask them to do more of preventing the harm before it gets to your infrastructure.
So it sounds like something that the chief security officers and so forth really ought to stay on top of.
Yeah, I think think of it as upstream security to downstream security. And there's multiple, points of control that the chief security officers or information security officers can put within their enterprise to protect them. And right now, I think many are thinking about just the downstream protecting or reactive to the fact that they've been infected. Well, I think the third area is about regulatory, the what to govern, who to govern, and how best to govern, of which there's many debates about how does one govern the economics of the internet, and who are the right players that you would want to think about governing in the future. And that's part of what's going on in many of these international negotiations, because some countries have different perspectives on this of how and who should be making money, or how and who should be in control of the internet, of plumbing and or standards, et cetera. And the fourth area is about policy. And it's funny because many of our when you think about the internet as part of your everyday life, and that we've transitioned from the first couple of decades of the internet was opt-in, and now it's really kind of compelled participation because it's part of everything. Is that then, from a policy perspective, is the internet a global commons of which we all have a responsibility to be good stewards of, like the environment or like the sea? Or is it a sovereign infrastructure? What happens within my borders is my responsibility. And that is a big debate right now, because it's actually probably some combination of both. And that area is becoming an area that we need to be much more attuned to, because it has so many different social implications and then international or multilateral aspects to it. The fifth area is about the social aspects of the internet. Is the internet a citizen right, or is it a citizen privilege? And to what extent, then, however you answer those questions, what does digital dignity look like, or what does digital discrimination look like? And have we started to think about, as this internet touches everything and everybody, what we think of are the 21st century principles of our digital economy, of our digital life?